This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This presentation was recorded at Teachers Week 2023, held at Faith Builders on August 1 to 4.
You walk into a restaurant, and as you walk in, you notice the smiles on the faces of the host or hostess, and you notice that the waitress seems to be moving about with a general smile and happiness, and they take you to the first available table, asking what your preferences are. And you sit down, just feeling like, wow, I want to eat a meal here. Next week, you go into a restaurant. As you walk in, very few make eye contact with you. It might even appear they hardly want you. By making a little bit of noise and some motion and a cautious hello, the host or hostess says, hi, anything do for you today? And you say, I'd like to eat a meal here. And she or he says, we'll see if there's anything around for you here. And you eventually get escorted to your table, and you sit down, wondering, should I have eaten here tonight? What's going on? You can find that kind of disparity between restaurants in the same chain. What's happening? How can two restaurants in the same enterprise be that different? Why is it that some schools seem to flow over, they're overflowing with excitement and joy over learning, while the next school considers it a chore and something which needs to be checked off the to-do list so that we stay legal? And I tell you two stories, both from the same school. I remember walking one day into a classroom in which I saw the following. Several students near the front were sitting up paying attention to the teacher. There were several students who were slouched down into their chair, head resting on their hands. They looked rather growly. Several more were exchanging flying projectiles. Now, the teacher was valiantly trying to make this thing work. One student looked over at me, who I'm the visitor, looked at me, looked at the teacher, looked at me, and threw a paper airplane. Chaos mostly prevailed. I walked to another classroom. In that classroom, students were working in pairs. They were fully engaged. It was quiet, except for that little hum that happens when they're doing group work pretty well together. They were interested in what was happening. There were smiles. The teacher was walking around the classroom, checking in on students. And it looked somewhat effortless as a bystander looking on. There was general calm and studiousness. In both of these scenarios, the teacher's desire for his students to learn was evident. But the results were quite different. In this particular case, the classrooms were directly across the hall from each other. Same school, different classrooms, and certainly different results. In our time together, I'd like to address the context for learning, the classroom culture. And we're going to begin by looking at some key ideas in the bigger picture and continue working our way toward getting some definitions for what we're looking at this week. So I'll begin with this question. I'd like to have some response. Your teachers, you do this to your students all the time, and you expect them to respond and not look away. And if you look away so that I don't call on you, you know, then that's like we know all the tricks, right? All of us here know all the tricks. We all know what's going on, but you can still try them. It makes you feel better, I'm sure. But I'm curious, why do you teach? Why? What's a reason? There's lots of reasons. Why do you teach? something you enjoy.
I want to make a difference in the kids' lives now and in eternity.
Okay, good. What else?
I believe it's a part of God's call on the way.
Okay, you feel a call.
You
love learning new things. Someone else.
I was going to say enjoy the process of learning.
Enjoy the process of learning. There's lots of things we could say. We teach because we love God and people, and so we get energy from working the kingdom that way. There's lots of things about teaching that we could go into. I'm going to stick with one right now that I want to emphasize this week. And that is, we teach so that students learn. Learning is the point. If students aren't learning, then you will quickly become dissatisfied with teaching. Is that true? If you never saw the light bulb go on, if you never see things really happening, and students are constantly not doing well, you will become discouraged. You will become one of these teachers who is not going to be able to last because it's not sustainable. The idea is that students learn. And of course, we're first learners, right? If we're going to learn, that learning is going to be in a particular context. Students never learn in a vacuum, neither do you. We don't actually learn in a vacuum. There's an environment we're in. Think about this. I was here earlier today, and I actually bumped that. I'm the reason why it's cold in here, because I know the temperature is going to be rising the whole time we're here together. And I bumped that thing down to 68 degrees. I know it's not. It's actually over 70 now. But I know something about setting the stage, right? And you do too. Hot, stuffy rooms don't really help learning take place. It's hard. You have to overcome a lot. And so we make sure the lights are on, the technology is working, that stuff is set for us. As a teacher, we're constantly looking to set the stage for our students. We have the sense, or we ought to at least develop that sense, that the context, even the room, the decor, the ambience, my person, what I bring, will help or hurt us. We know that when students come in the morning, it's important to actually say good morning and to expect them to say it back. That's important because inside us we know it's setting the stage. And I want to remind us it's setting the stage for learning. That's why we're in the classroom. I am purposefully staying away from diving into why that's such a biblical idea. Okay? We ought to spend a lot of time there. We don't have time to unpack that a little bit. But learning is a part of the human experience. And learning is mission critical to becoming a whole kingdom citizen. And learning is really, really hard work. Reference last night. You come in these driveway, you wonder, why am I here again? And where will I go? And where is the restroom? And I need a drink badly. And what if I don't know which breakouts I want to take? And you have all these things going inside your head before you ever get here, while you're getting here. And you're being pushed because you're learning. If you've hardly ever been here, you don't know how this building works. That's enough to make you turn and go back. But you're learning things. Learning is hard work. It's scary. It's changing my categories. It is rearranging me when I learn. And you were built to learn and grow. God is in the business of growing people. He's in the business of growing young people, as in students, growing us. And this whole enterprise of learning makes sense with how God made us. So as teachers, we want to cooperate with the learning process, but we don't learn in a vacuum. We don't learn in some sterile environment. Right? There's people, there's messiness, there's problems, there's stuff to deal with. And all of this stuff affects learning. The context for learning is like a framework. It's the structure of your classroom. It's not noticed easily, and it's not in the forefront, which is one reason we don't spend enough time thinking about it, maybe. It does set the stage for a successful classroom experience, both for you as a teacher and for your students. So consider a building. We build a foundation, and we start putting boards and lumber on top of that foundation. And we continue putting structure on it, and eventually a roof gets on it. And after a while, this is what you see. How many times when you go past a building do you think about the foundation and the structure of the walls and the insulation and the wrap that's on that and the mortar between the joints of the brick? How much time do you spend thinking about that? We don't, do we? It simply is. But without it, it isn't. That's a lot like the context for learning. The framework isn't what we notice. We notice the house. I want to remind us that our classrooms have a framework from which we teach and in which students learn. And we want to look at that this week. I'd like to go into a few terms here. And I just want to say I'm indebted to Kent Peterson, Terrence Deal, Todd Whitaker, and Steve Grunert for their research and writing in the area of school culture. I'd like for us to just think about some terms here that get tossed around. And I'm going to make a differentiation that I would not be making if you had not taught before, because it feels too complicated. But I'd like to just hopefully challenge us a little bit here. What is school culture? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. School culture is not somehow church or big business or whatever. A school is a school, and it has ideas of other things like it, but it's not. It's its own thing. School culture is not a problem to be solved. It indicates to us what it is that drives us, what our values are, what we care about. It indicates how we solve problems. It tells us what we're going to pass on from one generation to the next. That's what school culture is going to do. So what is this thing that everyone has? Because every school has a culture. Every classroom has a culture. And everyone knows it exists, but it's so hard to get our hands and heads wrapped around it that we forget about its importance, that indeed it is the environment. It is the thing around by which students actually learn. It is their context. It is more than rules and procedures. It's that, but it's more. So here is probably the best definition, and it's a long one, that I have for school culture by Deal and Peterson. Beneath the surface of everyday life in schools is an underground river of feelings, folkways, norms, and values that influence how people go about their daily work. This taken-for-granted set of expectations affects how people think, feel, and act. It shapes how they interpret the hundreds of daily interactions of their work lives and provides meaning and purpose in their interactions, activities, and work. Unquote. Now, we're not going to camp out here too long, but if you actually tore all that apart, it's a pretty thorough definition of school culture. Maybe a simpler way to say it is, culture is the way we do things around here. Even the things you don't know why you do them. Culture is the social glue that holds people together. It is the activity behind the scenes or activity between the lines. It's what's really going on. The patterns of behavior that distinguish us from them. It's deeply embedded beliefs and assumptions. So deeply embedded that you hardly know they're there. It's the unwritten rules. It's the default mode of behavior. It's our collective consciousness. It's our shared social reflexes. Am I going too fast? If you think about all that, I know I am, I'm sorry. There's lots of ways to describe culture. I'm trying to give you some ways to think about it. It's the box that we try to think outside of. That's culture. It's also the unique personality of the school or classroom. It's the way your particular school solves problems and copes with tragedy and hardship. It's the way your school celebrates successes. And it's manifested in how people behave, how they think. Culture influences the way we think, feel, and act. If you stop and think about this a bit, I think you'll agree with me. Church does this too. Businesses do this. Every organization that I know of has a culture. And so, what is it? Is maybe the question. School culture, though, is very difficult to give definition to. And I think that's why we sometimes don't give it enough attention. Does your school have a culture? Does your classroom have a culture? And if I were to ask you to describe that culture, what will be a word? And we're going to save that. You'll have opportunity for that a little later. But maybe now you start thinking about what it is that describes my classroom. Now, I'd like to make a little foray into something that is maybe feels a little tangential and not core, but I think it keeps, I'm trying to illuminate some of these things that are hard to get our hands and heads around when it comes to the way our classrooms are, the way we do things around here. So let's talk about culture versus climate. Now, both are important. A school's climate is a window into the school's culture. The climate of a school is the outcome of its culture. The climate of a school is its feelings more than the way it is. Feelings more than the way it is. So let's think about this a little bit. The group's personality is culture. The group's attitude is climate. Now, I know there's going to be interplay here, right? And they're going to influence each other. But let's, just for a moment, step back a little bit. The group's personality versus the group's attitude. Culture gives Monday permission to be miserable. And climate differs from Monday to Friday, February to May. Is there any difference in your school at the end of February versus May 10 in the climate? Okay. Now, that's that feeling, right? That the way things feel. I will prevent myself from going into that particular point. If you know me, you know why I have to prevent myself from doing that. Culture takes time to establish, and climate is easy to change. Okay? Do you agree with that? If I said, hey, it's been kind of a tough day. Everyone put your books away. Actually, I have a box of donuts back here. Let's have donuts and milk. Would the climate change? Probably. Right? Did the school culture change? The personality change? No. But the climate changed. I guess there can be climate changing. Schools. Culture can't really almost be felt. It just sort of is. Okay? Climate can be felt when you enter a room. You feel, we could call it the vibes. Is that an okay word to use? You just sort of get it, right? Culture is part of us. Climate surrounds us. Culture is the way we do things around here, while climate is the way we feel around here. And culture determines whether or not improvement is possible. And climate is the first thing that improves when positive change is made. All right, we could sit here and talk about this for a long time. These are connected in. But climate, culture are related, but they're not the same thing. Let's look at personality versus attitude. So we said culture is school's personality and climate is the attitude. The biggest difference between the two is that the attitude is far easier to change than the personality. Right? It's easier to change. You can kind of decide to change an attitude. Have you ever decided to change your attitude? I hope. Well, y'all are saintly in here. Nope, never needed to. I have to make conscious decisions. I will love that child. I will not be grumpy today. I will not let my late night last night inflict pain upon my students. I make those decisions all the time. Okay? And you probably do too. If you were to announce a snow day in preparation for the snowstorm coming, I can tell you the climate will change immediately. Okay? Now, the promise of the snow day doesn't change the school's personality or the culture, but the collective shift in attitude, climate, allows the school to reveal what it values, though. Now, I'm all for snow days occasionally. I am. I'm pro. In fact, I call occasionally a snow day when we haven't had a snow day. I just call a snow day. We just say it's a snow day. Because I think every child needs a break, and to be honest, so do the teachers occasionally. I think that's understood. But, you know, when you stop and think about the excitement, if the excitement is about, good, we get to be out of school. Oh, can't wait. That's different than, we can go sledding tomorrow. You see the difference? It's revealing what's underneath. Okay, that announcement will reveal what is underneath. Changing a personality requires a more purposeful and sustained effort than changing one's attitude. Morale is a barometer of culture. We can say morale or the degree of happiness among you as a staff particularly reflects the school culture and has an impact on school climate. I have heard students say to me things like, well, we could always tell when it's going to be a bad day by the way we were greeted or whatever. You make the list. There's a sense that students knew you stay out of the teacher's way. I've not worked personally with any such teachers, so don't be pointing fingers around. But I've heard that from students. That's terrible and terrifying all at the same time. Because you as a teacher have a lot to do with the climate of your classroom. Setting the morale, the tone, is a 24/7 process. A field trip, if you're struggling with student morale, one field trip does not transform morale. It does not make everything better all of a sudden. It makes one day better, maybe. It does not change morale. Morale can be gained or lost very quickly. Culture gives us permission to be miserable. I will have to make a brief foray to make my point into Mondays. I'm sorry. But I will right here do that. It so happens that Monday marks the start of the work week after 2 days of rest. You ever thought about Monday that way? We get to start the week after 2 days of rest. Now, as a result, of course, teachers are more lethargic and reluctant to work on Mondays than during the rest of the week. Now, some teachers seem almost useless on Monday, not because they're actually tired, but because that's how they're supposed to act. We get some snow around here, not nearly enough to suit me or my colleagues, but we get some snow. And it's so interesting to watch the mood of a day when teachers, look at the snow. Everyone, look at that snow. Instead of, oh, snow. It's like, oh, that's something I should be excited about. The teacher is in charge of that climate, and her response or his response to that snow makes all the difference. Her response, his response to Mondays being the very worst day of the week will be reflected by your students. Or that Friday is definitely the best day of the week. I think everything runs downhill, and Friday's is an unfortunate sort of day. Everyone is hard. By then, it's just hard. Okay? Why do you have art on Friday? Just saying. So why do we make Mondays the enemy? And what happens is we begin to place onto these, because of I don't know why all, Garfield, I don't know who all, we say Mondays are bad. But the problem is students pick up on that, if I can use that word again, vibe. That climate, the way you're presenting, the way you talk about the day, and it sets the stage. It matters. Have you ever been a little bit bummed at somebody who's just going to stay late Friday night because they're having so much fun grading papers? And who does that, right? But has so much fun grading papers. We grade papers, just don't have that much fun doing it, probably. But think about how that sometimes you even wish for that happy teacher who's having this great time, working a little late on a night you want to go home, and you kind of want them to be miserable with you. The thing is, you can get it to happen really easily. It only takes one snarky comment to change the climate after school. One. It's amazing. You see, the things that we say, who we are, what we bring, affects climate. It affects, ultimately, our culture. Values. Values are often unconscious to those who hold them and difficult to talk about with others or to even understand ourselves. Those looking into our classrooms can see the values and understand the way we act under different circumstances, okay? The way we work within our school structure, the way we use our resources, they can see. Sometimes we can't see. And I would like to call us to actually think about how I, you, might work at articulating the values that drive us. What do you care about? What do you value more than anything else in your classroom? And start making the connections between what I actually value and what happens in my classroom. The difficulty of articulating values helps actually make them sustainable when you push through and articulate them. What we care about, what we value, shapes everything in our classrooms. A change in climate can occur instantly. Change in culture is a slow, slow, slow process. So culture influences our values and beliefs. Climate is those values and beliefs in action. It's kind of what we see. It's the vibe. However, there are times when we begin to adjust the climate, we begin to change the culture. When we are aware of why we do the things we do, we no longer do them without thinking about them. What is the impact of this or that assignment or that project? And how will it affect this environment that my students are in? Now, I have spent time talking through culture and climate. And I'm going to now turn to you to produce. And so if you would turn to the back side, I have a little assignment for you. And I want you to take, you've been thinking, I've been seeing you think, the vibe I got was thinking, processing. I want you to process on paper, and I want you to put down a word, a positive word that describes the climate of your classroom, the attitude, the feeling. If you happen to have a negative word, put it down too. If you have achieved perfection, no problem. Don't put it down. However, if you can think of something that you do wish was a little different. That's what I mean by negative. I don't mean something that's horrible. I just something that you wish could change. Put it down. So do that, and then we'll do the next thing. By the way, just like your students don't know what answer they should put down because it's wrong, it's not really wrong or right answers here. Just like you tell your students sometimes, and they don't believe you, you're not believing me. So, but I'm serious, put down a word that just describes, it doesn't have to be perfect or captured, exactly, but put down a word. Okay, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to write down at least one positive word. Just one. And I guarantee you have many, but one. I need one. Okay, now, we're not going to do the negative one because it's hard. But if you have fellow staff members here or someone else to talk to, you might actually work on this one together a little bit. There's actually some value in this exercise. But for now, turn and tell your neighbor. If it doesn't quite work out, it can be three of you, but turn and tell your neighbor the positive word you chose and give an example of why that might be true. So if you said happy-go-lucky, give an example of why it's of how you would know it's happy-go-lucky. Make sense? Talk to each other. Even if you're strangers. If you want. My mic is on. Okay. You know, as you have confirmed my suspicions, teachers love to talk. It's great. That was a lot of noise. That's impressive. Y'all doing your job. Thank you for doing it even with strangers. Actually, I mean that. It's not always easy to do that with somebody you don't know if you know, but it's okay. That's the way we get to know each other. Okay, you've actually started uncovering a few things here, right? Now, what I want you to do is let's take number six. We're not going to try to do number four. I'm staying away from the negative. I was going to end with the positive, but I'll stay away from that, okay? And I want you to write down a cultural value that supports the positive climate word. In other words, what is underneath why it's happy-go-lucky in your classroom? What's actually enabling that to be happy-go-lucky? What's in place that makes it happen? That even makes it an option? Yeah, that's a lot harder. Still no wrong answers. But we're going to give you a little more time on this one. What is it that helps enable, makes it possible for your positive climate word to exist? What's the value underneath? What's underneath that enables this positive thing to be in place? So let me give an example of happy-go-lucky. No one used happy-go-lucky, I'm almost sure. Okay, so happy-go-lucky. Maybe one of the values of your school is flexibility. The ability to flex with change and things that come up. And that there's sort of this general cultural idea that you just kind of got to go with the flow a little bit. You have a plan, but you got to adjust. Might that contribute to being happy-go-lucky? I just made it up, but I'm saying, is that right? Would that be possible? And there could be multiple values that help drive that. But think of a thing that can drive, that allows this to take place, this happy, positive part of your classroom. Okay, now I'll be quiet again. Give you another 20 seconds. All right, turn and tell. Okay, I know that wasn't nearly enough time. It was not nearly enough time. I'm sorry. But I would encourage you to do these kinds of exercises because we often don't have words for what's happening. And it really is hard work to try to put words and articulate. The more you can articulate the values and the way things are, the more planned you can create experiences for your students that are learning experiences. We started by looking at school culture and tried to bring it down into your classroom here at the end. And it's true that our classrooms are influenced by school culture. Remember that your classroom culture can stand on its own two legs. You can create the culture that you want. It's more difficult, but you can do that. I want to remind us, as you look at school culture, as I close here, it's this one thing. And that is that culture and climate is directly connected to people. And so don't divorce this process from somehow rules and policies and procedures. Those are important, but it rests in people. And we're going to get to that tomorrow. But people are the drivers of culture at the end of the day. Don't divorce the two.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at christianlearning.org or call 814-789-4769. Many Faith Builders recordings are also available on the Dock for Learning at thedockforlearning.org.